sounds like a villain in a Bond movie.
Spectacular.
Spectacular.
Yes.
Yeah, it's arch nemesis of Gamblar.
Is that a DC or Marvel sort of thing?
It was a Simpsons kind of thing. It's been a while since I've made a Simpsons reference, I think.
Okay, well, you can make one right now. They're all listening.
I know. That's why I jumped right in. I figured you would press go, so I just went in with like that.
Very good.
Anyways.
Anyway.
Dave's fault!
Dave's fault. Welcome back to the Dave's Fault podcast. This is Father Dan Cale.
And Father Stephen Felicia. And we have a stranger among us. Actually, I know him already. Identify yourself to the people.
And I'm Chris Hagar.
Oh, Chris Hagar. He's not a priest.
And I don't know. I don't know what I'm doing here.
I don't know how this happened.
Chris, what are you doing here?
I'm asking myself the same thing right about now.
No, you're doing great. Answer the question for the people.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
So I basically wrote an email. First, it was just, hey, I have this cool topic idea for the podcast. And then as I'm finishing it, I'm signing my name, and I get just a little nudge in the back of my head, like, ask if you should be a guest. I'm like, sure, why not? They'll say no. Mm-hmm. I was wrong.
Little
You're
did
totally
you know.
Totally wrong.
Little
again,
did you know.
Well,
yeah.
So, you know, again, our paths have crossed like dozens of times, honestly, Chris. Like, is that just happenstance? I don't know. Like,
I mean,
we hang out in the same circle of friends. Is that it?
I'm not sure. I don't really believe in a whole lot of coincidence either.
Neither do I.
All things by divine providence, Father Stephen.
Yeah.
All things by divine providence.
I'm just asking what's happening. There's all kinds of, you know, wheels within wheels, plans within plans.
My first connection with the Hagar family, Chris Hagar, your big brother, Nick, right? I called him my freshman buddy when I was in high school because he was a couple years behind me. And we very quickly became friends. So shout out to your brother, Nick. I doubt he listens to the show. He's too smart to listen to our show.
Well, I'll send it to him anyway and make him listen.
There Dude, check this out. Some nice. Guys give you a shout out. You've never heard of him.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Actually, my mom still refers to you as his senior friend every now and
nice.
Then. So
oh, nice.
That's great. Stuck around.
Yeah.
Congrats.
Yeah. And whenever I have a moment of being slow, it has a senior moment. Anyway,
thanks,
so
Dad.
Thanks, Dad. So yeah, it's just cool to have. And then you actually are probably closer friends with my little brother Tommy.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. But here we go. Okay, so you emailed in, and because I'm the guy who handles all the tech, because Father Stephen is
computer illiterate.
There it is.
I don't even know what an email is.
He's a Luddite over here.
Yeah. It's a sin to lie. Anyways.
It's a sin to lie.
I know what an email is.
Yeah. No, so I handled it, and you know, Chris, yeah, you said, here, let's have this idea. And I said, hey, why don't you come and do it with us? Because I've been like trying to figure out ways to get people on this show. Not that it's that hard. People actually do want to be on it.
We could probably just ask. Yeah.
Well, here we go. Here's asking.
Okay. Well, he asked us.
So
now here he is.
So here's the topic.
He just gave a thumbs up. You couldn't see it. Anyways.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
This is all audio.
All the people are missing like 50% of what I say.
Are you
I talk
Italian?
A lot with my... No, actually. At least not to my knowledge.
Okay.
But I do have a sidebar off of that already, so
go,
I'm going to jump right in.
Oh, sidebars.
He's got it. He's got the idea.
So shout out to my friends Thomas Duran and Julia Nagy.
Uh-huh.
Where they're actually engaged, but Julia is very Italian.
Hey, all right.
And Thomas likes to tease her about that a little bit, especially...
What?
We have a fight about how the proper way to make spaghetti.
Uh-oh.
Whether you
no.
just put it in the pot, let it, I guess, get soft from the water and slide in, or you break it. Thomas breaks it.
No.
Nope.
Wrong.
He's wrong.
Totally wrong.
There it is, Thomas.
Sinner.
Everyone says you're wrong.
Heresy.
And he's, you know... What is it? What do you say? You're a quarter Sicilian, so therefore you're half Italian?
Therefore I'm half Italian.
Yeah.
Anyway,
so he should know. He should know.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, so you wanted to come on the show today.
Sorry,
please, please save us. Please save us.
He did this to us.
I know.
Yeah,
I know.
It's my fault.
It's great. So here's the thing. Chris, you are a student at the Franciscan University of Steubenville.
That is correct. I'm going to be finishing my senior year this semester, then starting my master's.
Nice. Okay. So what is your bachelor's in?
Theology and philosophy.
Theology and philosophy. Are those two separate majors, or is it a combined major?
Say they're two separate. So if you're there, people will be calling me a filthy, and I wouldn't be getting offended.
Filthy. So we had there was a guy in seminary we went to school with, Phil Szabo, right?
Yeah. What about him?
I think when he went from being a pre-theologian to being a theologian, they called him filthy.
I'd never heard that. I wish I had. I would have totally jumped on that bandwagon and made it super old real quick.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's Phil Szabo. Apologies if it's some other Phil. Anyway, doesn't matter. Plenty of Phils.
Moving on.
Yeah, let's fill this podcast in with some real content.
Theology.
But there you go.
So
great. So what's your master's going to be in then?
Theology.
Okay, great. Any particular area of study? Maybe you don't know yet.
Yes, I'm not entirely certain. I need to consider it more, but I would definitely like to get into Mariology.
What's your year? You sophomore? What are you?
He said he was going to graduate this year.
Yeah. Oh, so totally missed that, man.
Yeah.
Senior, one semester under my belt, going into second semester, still figuring out what the heck I'm doing. Probably never going to know that, but
yeah.
Good.
So Mariology then, would that be the Reverend Dr. Mark Miravalli teaching that?
Actually,
kind of
most
stuff?
Of it. Every Mariology class I've had, I mean, all two of them, but soon to be three, right. I've had with him.
Right.
Nice.
Right. I have his Mariology book on the shelf over here somewhere. Anyway, it's over here. So his son, John Mark, taught us in seminary. And
he was just riffing off dad's material, as I understand.
Well, he taught a Mariology course, so it was just probably an introductory
level. And he also used his dad's book.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
Well, the joke.
No coincidence.
No coincidences.
But the joke at the Mount has been that it's becoming Steubenville Mini or something like that. A miniature Steubenville. There's so many different connections to people in other parts of the Catholic world. So Dr. John Mark and his father. And then we have Dr. Michael Hahn.
Yeah.
The son of Dr. Scott Hahn.
Right. And then
We have Dr.
Love.
Dr. J.D. Love. He
is the son-in-law.
Son-in-law to
Al
Cresta. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Al Cresta. So I don't know. There's just all these little connections to
shameless
like
plug for Mini Steubenville. Anyway, I mean Mount St. Mary's.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Ascendite in Montem, am I right? That's our motto.
Is it?
Yeah. That was established like our last year there.
To the heights or something?
Yeah, well, it's like ascend the mountain or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah.
Something from the Prophet Haggai.
Shoot your way up.
That's what we did.
Anyway, no, not literally. Anyway.
Yeah, we felt like it.
Thanks, COVID.
Dude, kind
of. That was an intense couple of weeks there. Anywho.
Crazy.
Topic for another time.
So the purpose for...
I still don't know what Chris is doing.
we're trying to land on that. Okay. So you proposed the conversation would be today the perspective of the contemporary Catholic college student on the life of the church today, and maybe you can give us some insight into just Catholic college life, because the reality is, like, while Father Stephen and I have both been in a Catholic college of sorts, seminary is very different from normal university life. So perhaps you can kind of speak a little bit to that. And I know Franciscan's different from other places, too. So, I don't know.
Different from everything, to be fair. Like, IU is not Purdue.
Thank God.
Harvard is not Marist. I mean, it's just, kinds of different. But that you are Catholic in a college, and
that's
go.
Right.
That's apparently our thing.
I mean, yeah. I think it's important. Talk about Catholic
well, how
university
did you,
life.
How did you end up at Steubenville, dare I ask? What happened? Were you kidnapped? What happened?
No. So it was time to, standard thing in high school.
What's your high school?
Bishop Dwenger.
I don't like you.
Oh, shut up.
I do. It's fine.
Shut
it's
up.
Fine.
Anyway, let's go Saints.
Where'd you go to school? I was in a room with two Dwengerites. Anyways.
Right, so now we'll just have the Father Dan and Chris podcast.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm going to get something to eat. I'm out. Anyways, jeez. That's me walking
Don't
out of the room,
the
but
mic.
Really banging on the mic. Gosh. All right. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I forgive you. I forgive me. I'm sorry. You're from Dwenger.
So
you're figuring out where you want
to
go.
Yep, it's time to go to college. I'm thinking, okay, so I'd really started actually taking the faith seriously around freshman, sophomore year.
Oh, very
and
cool.
And so, by the time I'm...
What was the moment like that, though? Let me segue you already into a segue.
All right. Sounds good. So at that moment
Why did you take it seriously then? What happened?
Yeah, so not taking it seriously just caused a lot of not fun, I guess, for me.
Fair.
Kind of a lot of just pain, like realizing, hey, this isn't fun. This isn't cool. I don't like this. Let's try something else. And then kind of staying like, what is something else? Yeah. And so I'm still kind of going through the thing of like, okay, I'm still going to at least look Catholic because that's my whole family and I'm not really going to rock the boat too much.
Okay.
A little bit of fake it till you make it going on there.
Kind of. More like just fake it until I can go to college and then just get out of it entirely. Probably
wow.
What it was.
Darkness.
Seems like that. Don't worry. The story gets better.
I imagine it does.
It ends well.
Okay. So go on. So, so you start taking it seriously then freshman year.
Yeah. Because I've gone on a retreat. A good time in confession, a super powerful adoration. Like, okay, like this is that something that fills in that big question mark. Mm-hmm. Well, then the next thing is, okay, so time to start like taking my Catholic faith seriously. What on earth does that even mean?
Figuring it out.
And it's about junior year, probably. I start looking at colleges, second half of junior year, something like that. And so I'm still trying to figure out the Catholic faith. And I mean, I by no means have any idea what I'm doing at this point. I'm still figuring it out.
Oh, yeah. Me and Dan are experts ourselves.
That's why we have this podcast.
Yeah. Not because it's easy to get this tech and just jump online. Anyway.
Bequeath your knowledge to everyone for all of eternity.
Yeah, ooh, that's right. Oh, yeah. Now that it's on the internet, it's never going away.
Exactly.
Yeah. Uh-huh. But be that as it may, the...
So I'm looking for Catholic colleges because I'm like, well, I'm still figuring it out. And I know if I don't go to one, the risk of me never figuring it out goes up a lot more.
Mm.
So I'm looking at some Catholic colleges. I look up at Holy Cross by Notre Dame. I'm like, okay.
Okay.
You know, whatever.
We're not judging. Just saying.
Yeah. So it wasn't terrible, but I kind of walked around just kind of feeling like, no, this isn't really it. Yeah.
That's not for you.
Go to Marion, down to Indy, and same thing.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. I had the same thing when I was walking through Xavier College. It was nice, and it was Catholic, but...
Right.
It wasn't for me.
Yeah,
it seems like there's some, a bit of discernment going on here as far as the place that really can help you to thrive in the faith.
Yeah, looking back on it, that's why I call it at the time. It was more like, this just doesn't feel right.
Right.
I didn't really think of like, oh, I'm discerning this big, important life choice.
Sure.
And so my friend, shout out Mary Simcox.
Oh, Mary Simcox.
You know her.
Of course.
She had wanted to go to Franciscan since... I think she's like fifth grade, probably earlier, but that's the most I could remember her telling me.
That actually makes sense. Yeah. Okay.
I just seem to remember her nearly passing out every single time she thought about Scott Hahn.
It's gotten better.
Has it gotten better? Okay, good.
We can say her name. She doesn't scream.
His name. Yeah.
But
okay.
Yeah. And so she's like, oh, you're looking at Catholic colleges. Go to Franciscan. And so finally I got so fed up hearing that. I'm like, fine. I'll do a college tour, go to Franciscan, just so I can tell you I looked and I don't want to go there.
So I can cross it off the list.
So much for that.
Yeah. And so I go and it's the worst college tour I had.
Oh, really?
It was unorganized. I didn't really know where to go. I was supposed to be meeting, they have a priest discernment program. I was supposed to be meeting the head of that.
Yeah.
So I discerned priesthood for 4 years. Now I'm dating.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Great.
Shout out Morgan Murdick. I told you I'd do this and I know you're going to be embarrassed.
Shout out to Morgan.
But at that point, I'm still discerning. I'm like, okay, I'm going to meet the head of this program, see if I want to go in. Well, he set up the meeting date, and he wasn't even there.
Good.
How did you end up here?
Welcome to life in the church.
Exactly.
This is totally how it goes.
Oh, man. So
he was running an ultra marathon, which is just two marathons back to back.
That doesn't even make sense in the first place. But
no
but,
idea.
And then he scheduled the meeting for the same time.
Yep.
Wow.
And so we get in the car, we're driving away. It's like, well, that was terrible. Yep. My mom kind of looks at me. She's like, you're coming here, aren't you? I'm like, yep.
Why?
Wow. What stuck out to you then?
I don't even know. It was just like, I'm just kind of walking around like, okay, like this just, it's just kind of that feeling of when you walk in somewhere like, this is just where I belong. And I can't really explain why.
Wow. Like,
this is just it.
Okay.
And I mean, it's been proven right. I have great friends there. I mean, amazing girlfriend, like. Prayer life has gone even, I lost that sense, but prayer life has gotten better.
It's all right. Yeah, we'll pick it. We'll find it some other time.
Yeah.
But your prayer life has increased, has improved.
Yeah.
You've grown closer to the Lord. See, that's how you just fight your way through a sentence. Just like that, Chris. Pay attention.
I'll keep that in mind.
Yeah. Well, great. That's awesome. That's so awesome. Yeah. So in any particular things that really stick out from your few? So you're entering into your basically your fourth year there.
Fourth year, final semester. It's
sure.
Yeah.
So, but in your time there, what would you say are some of those things that stuck out that really have proved right the initial inclination, the initial draw of the Holy Spirit to have you go there?
So, of course, the probably first and foremost thing is just, again, that increase in prayer life and not just like going to pray more, but also seeing real fruits of that and having a better intimacy with our Lord. Like, all prayer bears fruit, but like being able to really notice a big difference. Like, I think back even just like a year ago or the year before that, I'm like, wow, I made a lot of big progress that I didn't realize and that I really shouldn't have. Yeah. Like, I go into college and I'm like, okay, I'm like, I have some sort of social anxiety. I'm like, I don't really want to talk to people. Like, the thought of talking to people in groups terrifies me. And I'm like, okay, you know, not my favorite thing.
But now we're just going to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
That's great.
Wicked cool. Tell me, what was it like when you just showed up at college? Because I'll tell you, when I showed up at college, they took my hair, my name, and all the words I could use and gave me four responses.
It wasn't the same experience.
It wasn't college.
It wasn't college. It was prison in Kiev.
It was higher learning, but it wasn't college. But like, what's first day for you like at Steubenville? Your parents like kiss you goodbye or something, and then what happens? Yes. I don't know. How do you even hand off kids to a college? I was taken.
So it wasn't quite that experience. They let me keep my hair.
Yeah.
It was about 6 inches long at that point, so.
Oh, they shouldn't have. Anyway.
Jeez.
So what happens? Get a crew cut.
Yeah, so the first day was just came early because of Priesthood Sermon Program, the PDP. It was like, okay, here's the meet and greet of all the guys that are there, meet the director. And so they had big pizza social, and my parents are like, okay, like we're moved in. So,
bye. Oh, they did just abandon you though.
Yeah.
I mean,
cool. Eventually they just take off. Man.
Well, I don't know how it happens. You have 30 seconds to say goodbye to your parents. That was a line they actually said.
Yeah. I moved into a frat house at Purdue.
Ah, well, we're not all born under a good sign, are we?
That was a mistake. Anywho. It was a mistake. It was a mistake. I rectified one semester later.
This is a mistake.
I'll tell that story later.
All right. Oh, but so your parents help you move in, and then they say goodbye to you.
Yep,
and you go to a pizza social.
First, I cry for about 10 minutes, and then I go to a pizza social.
Oh, God bless you,
my friend. You're actually a super brave man to say that. Good for you, man.
Dude, hey, you know what, though? My freshman year of college, I totally had that separation anxiety. I was in the same boat. I freaking was homesick. Huh. I know you didn't have time to be homesick.
I didn't have time to be homesick.
Your tears were being spent on other things.
I was worried I was not going to see you tomorrow. Forget home. I just want to live.
Was this West Point or a prison in Moscow?
Yes. Anyways, okay. It was a place. It's Hudson River School for Boys.
State school.
So to speak. Only public school I've ever gone to.
Lord have mercy.
Anyways, Lord have mercy. But so you sorted out your emotions. Great. Yeah. And then what happened?
I go, I meet people. And so I'm an introvert. And like I said, like the thought of going to groups of people also terrified me because of some sort of just social anxiety. So I'm like, okay, find a group of people that are kind of like just taking in new people and just latch onto them.
That was your plan.
Full on suckerfish. Yeah.
My full plan was to be a social leech, basically.
Nice.
Oh, okay.
Nice.
Okay.
And good. It worked because most of the people in that group I'm still friends with.
Hey, so. All right. Wow. Yeah. First try.
Yeah, I was here for fraternity.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
well, what was good. It? Was it a fraternity?
At Franciscan, they don't really do the fraternity thing, right?
No,
they do the household thing.
Yeah, we have households. So.
Okay.
I mean,
I don't know. Go on. Tell me more.
If I say it's like a Catholic fraternity, that's not quite right.
It's called a household.
But
it's like a Catholic fraternity.
Yes, so some people get on my case like, no, it's not. I'm like, well, every description I hear kind of sounds like it's a Catholic fraternity.
How would you describe it? Catholic fraternity? Go on.
Pretty much.
Okay. It's
like, you know, they have women's households, men's households. And it's just, so they, it's kind of like a, I mean, it has to be a group. To be active, you have to have at least three people.
Ooh.
So it's at least three people all come together, like praying, like thinking, hey, this is kind of what we want our main focus to be. Mm-hmm. Like we have some households focused on service, some focused on like reparation, the Immaculate Heart of Mary.
Oh, wow. That's hardcore.
Like, yeah.
This is deeply spiritual and religious.
We have some priests or some households that pray specifically for priests and deacons and all clergy. So there's probably a household of Franciscan praying for both of you.
How did Franciscan even come about? Like, this sounds amazing. Tell me more. Like, what was, when did this happen?
It's taken sort of different shapes over the years, hasn't it? I mean,
I'm pretty sure my history of Franciscan's a little rough, but I know the general outline was, you have Steubenville. It's like, hey, we got this kind of hill or this place, like, we kind of want a college. And so they ask, like, the religious group A, and they're like, no. Religious group B, no. C, no. And they come Franciscans, like, all right, we will take the college. Let us do our thing with it.
Oh. Yeah.
And so it was it
the TORs at the time, the Franciscan TORs?
It was the TORs, but I'm not positive on
that.
Okay,
all right.
And so they go through, and, you know, it's going through, and then, of course, it starts to kind of be a little less Catholic, a little more secular.
Mm-hmm.
But then
so
we have
70s and stuff, yeah.
Probably.
Okay.
But then shortly after, we get Father Michael Scanlon, who he's...
Oh, I know him. Why do I know him? Probably because of Franciscan.
You
owe him money. Anyway. Go on. He doesn't owe him money.
I certainly hope not.
Yeah.
But he comes in, and they ask him to be the president of this kind of failing university. Mm-hmm. He says, all right, I will be the president so long as you step back and let me do basically whatever I want to do with this place.
Wow.
That seems to be the standard line these people get handed all
Here we
the
go.
Time.
Here we go again.
I demand absolute control. Well, okay.
They just like, sure, whatever.
Yeah, why not?
This college is probably going to go bankrupt anyway. What does it matter?
Oh, wow. Gee. Hardcore.
Yeah.
And what happened?
And so he steps in and starts like, okay, we're changing this, changing that, doing all this thing. And his main focus was, we're going to be more Catholic.
Nice. Mm.
And it's kind of the very Franciscan attitude of, we're going to be more Catholic, and then everything else is just going to sort of magically happen. Well, not magic, but...
Well, yeah, but no, God will sort it out so long as we're trying to cooperate with him kind of thing.
Yeah.
Cool. I mean... No, spot on.
A lot of things about that have seemed to work. Every place has its, you know, challenges and joys, right? So there's always going to be conflict, but... But yeah, it seems one of the things that I've really, really enjoyed about the Franciscan model is especially the household thing. When I was at seminary, I was there with a couple guys who had left Franciscan to go to seminary. Matt Arterberry, I don't know if you remember him.
Go on.
So, but anyway, shout out to my friend Matt Arterberry. You know, he since had left seminary and, you know, became a dad and stuff like that, followed a different vocation. But he and my good friend Father Nick Ward, especially those two guys, among some others, would always talk about their time in they were in Paternoster. They were in the Paternoster household.
Yes. I know some people in that household.
Okay. Yeah. So and I think Father now Father, as of this year, Jeremiah Hahn, Dr. Hahn's son, I think he was also in that household with them. So anyway, but just telling us about...
You give me names, Chris.
This is just my own history. But anyway, they would always talk about the household thing being, you know, it could either lend itself, you know, to not very good habits, or if you had men who were really serious about it, it could be a really, really good spiritual fraternity. I mean, it could really be a solid, you know, like small Christian community where they're like doing things on purpose to grow in a life of prayer, doing things on purpose to make sure they're accountable and you know, living healthy lifestyle and all these sort of things. And it was really impressive to me because that doesn't really seem to happen anywhere else.
No, I've never even heard of something like that on a Catholic college.
Yeah.
Not that I'm opposed, as you said. I'm kind of a big fan of the concept. So you just like saw a sign and you're like, and you walked into a house and you're like, can I join you guys? And they're like, yeah, all right.
So it's not quite, we don't have like fraternity houses.
Fine.
It's just, so we have the dorms. I mean, we're not really big enough to have fraternity houses. This is the big, big problem because we're on a hill.
Okay. Right?
But we have the dorms and each household has their wing on a dorm. Like, oh, this is... I was in Living Stones, which is kind of like you're discerning if you want to discern priesthood type of thing.
Or okay.
Like, or a religious vocation. Like you're discerning what you're trying to discern.
Sure.
That's the best way. But right.
Plans within plans.
Well, I mean, it's a stepping stone, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you discern like, yes, I want to join a religious community. I want to be a priest. You go to Koinonia, which is what I was in my second year.
Ooh.
Clearly didn't work out, but.
Again, not a problem.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So it got me where I needed to be. I discerned.
I think Greg Downs was in Koinonia.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. When he
That's
was
funny.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Yeah, anyway. Another shout out, Greg Downs, friend, another friend from seminary. Anyway, yeah.
And so it's like Living Stones, like here's Living Stones wing, and so here's where a bunch of Living Stones guys live, and then here's like their common room. Like this is the Living Stones common room, or people can use it, but it's kind of like,
for them.
Yeah, it's more specific.
It's kind of our space.
It was always incredibly awkward when you walk past and see like a guy with his girlfriend sitting in the PDP common room, like. Man, are like,
do you even know where
what you are? Trying, yeah. Like, what are you trying PDP. To tell her right now?
The Pre-Leader Sermon Program common room.
So we made a habit of whenever we saw someone in there, someone would just walk in, like grab a book off the bookshelf, sit down, and start reading.
Yeah,
until they left.
Nice.
It worked well.
Insider awkward. Stories here. Okay, so I want to make sure we get to some of the big content of what you emailed me about, which was the perspective of maybe the church from. You know, the perspective of a Catholic college student. And, you know, yeah, someone who's really trying to seek out that life of faith and continuing to work towards that, right? And of course, you know, you're studying philosophy and theology, and so that kind of puts you in a particular category. But like, Chris, where do you see the church right now? What do you see going on? What's sort of resonating with you? Things that are sort of making you either joyful or sorrowful or whatever, just like... I want to see your perspective.
So you're like 23, Catholic, and a college student about to graduate. Go.
Yeah.
21.
But oh, 21. Way off. Sorry.
So far off.
Jeez.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so it's always interesting to just talk about, like, what does the church look like when you look at it? Because it's like, it really depends on where are you looking right now, and how are you, what lens, really? Because when you first look at it, like, so I really don't like the news at all. I scroll headlines, but it's like, if I look at the news, like, okay, well, the church is going to last like maybe 4 more days. And
yeah,
that's it.
Yeah. Right. That's a fair point.
It's like, we have 4 more days of the church, and that's it's like, well, no, like, so ignore, so it really depends. And so when I look at it, I'm like, okay, yes, I acknowledge things are really rough. I mean,
yeah, in certain areas of the church.
Yeah.
Right.
It's like, this thing is a problem. This is a scandal. This is a problem. Like, it's everywhere. Like, okay, that's admittedly not good. And that's definitely things that are happening. But then also looking at through lens of kind of a dual lens, like, okay, so I have hope that the church isn't going to go anywhere. We're not going anywhere ever.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh no, there have been massive extermination campaigns against the church. Diocletian comes to mind. That was millennia ago. Yeah. The
Nero.
Here we are. So well, you want to go well the way back to the beginning.
Yeah. But I'm trying to remember. I think there was like, a general Napoleon who said to a clergy, like, we're going to destroy the church. And the clergy just goes, good luck. We've been trying for like millennia.
Don't make me tell that story. It's actually super good, but you got it right. Yeah. So, but like, again, without going into all the cool, gory details, like what breaks your heart, man? Is there something on, you said, I scroll headlines because if I lead it, I'll like weep. Like, I'm paraphrasing, but the
Oh, that's far more poetic than he put it.
Yeah, well, I was just paraphrasing. That's a reference to Muppet Treasure Island. Anyway, set the sails. Go ahead.
Gosh.
Like, what bothers you? Talk.
So one of the biggest things that bother me, which might be a very, like, it happens a lot at Franciscan, where it's kind of like, there's this, I think, superficial, but very clear divide in the church of like, you have people they're like, I'm going to speak in general terms.
Just talk. Yeah.
But you have people who are like, okay, like, this is like the church, and like, I enjoy like praise and worship. They're called like the charismatics. Like, I enjoy praise and worship. I enjoy the charisma of the Holy Spirit, all these other things.
Praise God.
And then you have this other side. It's like, we are the traditionalists, like Latin all the way. And it's like, okay, you know, those are both very valid things. But then you have the problem of people who are like, this is the only way to do it. The other way is wrong. It's like, well, no, like you can't really take, like you can't take one without the other. You can have degrees of one, but you can't take Latin without the Holy Spirit or Holy Spirit without tradition. Like if you do that, you know, one,
you've got no basis to be even talking about the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
You'd have no tradition.
Yeah. And like one's like trying to, like one's like having a jar with no water. The other's having water without a jar. Like either way, you're missing your goal entirely.
Forgive me again. West Point was nothing like this. Like, was this a growing problem or is it stabilized? What's the situation like on ground, generally speaking?
So, on campus or in general?
Yeah, in general. Just,
yeah.
What do you feel? Talk.
I mean, I don't really know if it's growing or not, but it's been consistent. Noticeable. And it's yeah, it's been consistent ever since the 60s with Vatican II. Like, there's always been a group,
yeah,
big or small, that says like, hey, the way you're doing it isn't valid because it's changed.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
When did you notice that?
When I came to Franciscan was really the first encounter, because it was the first encounter I really had with like charismatics or like traditionalists. Mm-hmm. And then also like the diehard traditionalists, who are the ones that say it's the only way to do, like the only way to do it is their way.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I've never really run into that with charismatics. They might be out there, but
sure.
Never seen it yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's interesting. So obviously my little brother is your age, right?
Yeah.
And he was just elected president of the Catholic group on campus at Purdue Fort Wayne. So
formerly IPFW.
Yeah, yeah. I paid for what? Sorry. Yeah. Sorry.
Hey, that team did beat IU in basketball, though. That was
yeah. Funny. That was
2016. It was the year of the underdog.
That was astonishing.
Go on.
So anyway, my dad always also called it Bypass High. But Purdue Fort Wayne. And
shout out to the people of Purdue Fort Wayne.
And so having connection with my little brother, as well as, you know, all of his sort of friends in that group, you know, there's a growing group of young people who are becoming more and more attendant at the local traditional Latin Mass parish. But there's also this many of those same people are perfectly happy to go and listen to praise and worship music, which is sort of funny. Yeah, but I definitely see the divide you're talking about. There is an interesting problem being sort of perpetuated. And do you think in your experience with this, Chris, that some of this has to do with maybe the immaturity of people who are college aged, not being able to make like to parse things out and make good distinctions? Or do you think what do you think of that cause? It's tough.
Yeah, because I mean, it would of course vary from person to person.
Sure.
And immaturity might have a part of it, but I also think some of it might just be they go to one, like they go to praise and worship, or they go to the traditional Latin Mass,
sure,
and they fall in love with it, and then they see this other thing that is admittedly radically different.
Oh, yeah.
I go to both, and they're both incredibly different from each other. No one's going to mistake one for the other. And they see it, and it's almost this kind of shock of like, you know, you go from one extreme temperature to another. It's just this shock of like, okay, like this kind of startles me. This kind of freaks me out a little bit.
Completely unfamiliar.
Yeah.
And then if you look more into it, like researching, it's also not really knowing who to look into to see like, is this something that's valid, because it's so startling and weird and maybe you've never heard of it before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when something you encounter something in the church that you've never heard of before, your gut reaction might be, this might not be correct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's fair.
And so if you don't know where you're looking, if you don't know who is actually like properly knowledgeable, you can find people that say, this isn't valid, this isn't valid, this is, but they're wrong. But if you don't know that,
yeah,
you're just sort of paralyzed in that world of that cloud of unknowing.
The cloud of unknowing. Jeez, thanks.
Anyways, sorry. It's a reference to a work of spirituality, which I haven't read, but it's on my to-do list.
Something, yeah, it's sitting on my shelf too.
Something to the side.
Read it. I own it. So anyway, I think there's something to be said about that. I think a lot of young Catholic people who find themselves going off to Catholic university, maybe they maybe their only experience of Catholic life has just simply been their sort of every Sunday parish. You know, when you go to Mass at most parishes in the United States of America, you're probably not going to either A, receive a lot of like sort of the charismatic renewal style praise and worship music. Not very often, right? It's going to be sort of the typical hymnody we're used to in recent days, right? And on the other side of things, you're probably not going to have a lot of people who are regularly going to the traditional Latin Mass as a regular event on Sundays. So for them to go be able to have the experience of going away to school, and then they run into either of these things while they're at a place like Franciscan, yeah, like it is jarring because it's completely foreign to the previous experience they've ever had just in parish life.
Catholicism in general.
Right. And it's not true of every place. I mean, the praise and worship music was sort of the hallmark of the Life Teen Mass. Yeah. It's not really called the Life Teen Mass.
Not that
anymore, the evening mass on Sunday at St. Vincent's.
Are you also St. Vincent's?
Yeah, he's a Viennese boy.
I'm St. Vincent's.
Yeah.
Of course you are.
Yeah.
Anyway,
that's where we met when you were our summer seminarian.
I knew it. I knew our paths have crossed like dozens of times. Yeah. Anyways, you're good company.
But anyway, so like that weird divide between what they had while they were in grade school, high school, growing up, and then all of a sudden they have the opportunity to experience something new and they latch on to it, right? Maybe there's something to that.
Well, you know, you talked about, you know, being stripped of everything you know and homesickness. You need to find a new home and a new sense of purpose. And so,
yeah, and I'm sure
you find it somehow.
Your sense of homesickness and that kind of stuff, I'm sure that's felt by I guarantee you, it's felt by every college freshman ever to go away.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, into some degree. Right.
Again, the whole point of the, not the whole point, a significant point of the academy experience is you've been stripped of everything. This is your identity now. You know, embrace it as it cuts you.
Jeez.
And okay, because I got nothing else going for me.
Embrace the suck, but, right?
You know, you're familiar with the term. Good.
Yes, I am.
But but setting that to the side, what else do you see in the church? So we've talked a little bit about that. The negative. Is there a positive? Like, what's the vibe you're picking up? Or just talk. So, what do you got?
Well, what I also see is, I mean, when everything is terrible, this is the exact opportunity we need to have amazing saints. But I think there'll be something also different than all the other times. Because, you know, there's the church's history is full of like, oh, things are going terribly. And now we have like a St. Francis, a St. Dominic. We've got... Mm. You know,
Robert Bellarmine,
Teresa of Avila, like you get all these amazing saints. Well, I think the difference will be that those were all like religious and clergy. Mm-hmm. I think this one right now will have a big boom in great saints of the laity because I also was thinking that I think part of the reason people are clinging to these different things too is because I think a lot of people kind of are a little disappointed or like, kind of fed up with how they see things in their home parish where, you know, like you have priests that go up and will preach, but they'll never really talk about, I mean, everything they'll preach about will be important, but it'll never really reach like the things they want to hear about.
What do people want to hear about?
Yeah, that's actually a fair question.
What do people want to hear about? What do you want to hear preached, Chris? Tell me.
So I can at least speak for me personally.
Yeah.
Like, you know, everything that priests preach, like, okay, it's all good, but also there are certain issues that aren't being talked about, like some of the different problems in the church, some of the divisions. Like, we want to hear about those things because that's what we're living through. We want to hear about the difficult things we're living through, like the truths of the church that maybe society is trying to tell us are okay.
Mm.
And I mean, I'm not going to go into a list because we'd be here all day. But I'm sure you could probably think of some of them. Like,
give me one of them.
Okay. Like, say, abortion is okay. Or
gotcha.
Anything right. Like, or like, homosexuality is okay. Transgender is okay. Like, all those things. Like, I don't really hear priests preach about that very much. Or even, there is one homily that sticks out in my head from Franciscan.
Yeah.
Because the priest goes up and he starts talking to all of us. And he's like, okay, like, Jesus doesn't want to condemn you. Like, he's basically going on, like, all of you want to live the good Catholic life, but you don't need to be afraid of messing up. Like, he doesn't want to send you to hell if you try to avoid messing up, but also don't be scrupulous about it. Don't be terrified of messing up. And
it was not well received?
No, it was perfectly received because everyone was sitting there. Was kind of thing like, yeah, that's kind of how I feel. Like, I'm kind of afraid a lot of the time. To do anything, because I'm worried of, like, sinning. Or when I sin, I'm terrified, like, that's it.
So he's trying to eliminate scrupulosity amongst the crew.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not doing the homily any justice, but...
you thought it was good.
Yeah, it stuck out, and you could kind of tell everyone was paying attention because he was preaching exactly to their heart, exactly what they had really never heard a priest tell them from the pulpit. Like,
you'd never been told Jesus Christ actually is like concerned about you and loves you?
Never that directly. Like, you know, kind of the broad terms, like, okay, like Yes, like, Jesus loves you. Jesus is merciful.
Uh-huh. Jesus is like a bunny rabbit.
Yes.
Yeah, Jesus is buddy like Jesus. A cloud.
Buddy, yeah. Buddy Jesus.
Yeah. Anyways. They can't see the hand finger gesture. Guns. The finger, there's Jesus a lot of hand gestures guns. In this episode. Anyways. Yeah.
Jesus with finger guns.
Anyways.
So you guys, you young Catholics.
You youngins. Here yeah. I am, a 35-year-old man.
These two youths. These two youths. Two youths. That's a reference from my cousin Vinny. So you guys want to hear about the tough stuff, right? Is that what I'm picking up?
Yeah.
Because that's the thing. I can tell you from my perspective as a priest, just even in the, you know, what, 2 months that I've been ordained a priest, but I've been preaching for a couple years as a deacon. It's difficult to sort of reach out there with a homily that you know is going to be controversial. Also,
just talk. What?
Well, and Father Stephen, maybe you can speak to this a little bit too. Maybe you're.
Probably. Yeah,
I'm sure you're braver than I am on this. But like, man, it's hard to go out there and just lay like a heavy topic on people.
Well, you've got to, first of all, there's like your audience you have to be concerned with, because like outside of college, this is an interesting thing I see in you. Like, so like a college parish thing, again, I don't know what it's like, but I imagine like the majority of people there are like from 18 to 23 or something like that.
Yeah.
Cool. So, you know, your audience is pretty standard across the line. Like, I have a very like hetero mix of I got kids, I got grandkids, I've got parents, I've got people who are just about to retire, I got people just starting careers. Oh, yeah. I got a big parish. I have to preach to all of them. So like when I preach about, say, like the martyrs, do you know how limited my details have to be? And like it's a super, because again, like this is cool, it's intense, we want to communicate that to you, and this is just in the general sense of the martyrdom. But like if I go and spell out exactly what just happened to St. Lawrence in all its cool, gory detail, like I'm going to get letters. That's if I'm lucky.
Right.
I've done that. I've overstepped a few times.
I can't imagine.
Because I tell stories.
I know. But I mean, the other thing is when you have started talking about heavy topics.
Well,
you know,
getting to that point is how do I do this in a way that doesn't come across as if, you know, if you've ever done this, you're going to hell and there's no way out. Preaching. Oh, we're getting into preaching.
Yeah.
Preaching is an art.
Yeah,
and you can't just like have it all systematized and say if I say this in this tone and then I move on to this topic and that perfectly encapsulates the idea. No. It's like a free flowing art form. And even if you write it out as you preach, you might even change mid topic a little bit here or there, go off from what you had as your guideline.
Well, yeah, you got to be actively engaged even with your own text.
Exactly.
Right? I mean, so it's tough. It's tough to sort of balance all those realities at once. I'm sure priests who are preaching to kids on a college campus can get away with a lot more of the heavy topic stuff.
Most likely, yeah.
Well, they could if they wanted to. And like that's an interesting thing. Is this might come as a surprise to you, Chris. Most priests are introverts.
Oh, I'm very aware. Yeah.
And so like they aren't necessarily used to, or it's not their like wheelhouse to be engaging a large group of people.
You're sitting in front of a living anomaly.
Behold!
Here he is.
So it's not their wheelhouse per se is who do I want to sort of like get out there and this could potentially rock the boat. But see, the thing is that we keep forgetting is the boat is being rocked and like people are aware.
Right.
And like, I hate to tell this to the priest, but it's not like you're Jesus asleep on the cushion, all right? Like, you're awake. I know you're pretending to just sleep.
Well, and I even know of priests who just said, like, look, I'm going to talk about a serious topic today. If you don't want to have your kids hear about, you know, well, I think it was Father Andrew who did a particular homily on the evils of pornography, right? I mean, he wasn't going to go into some of the details about, you know, why it's bad, how bad it's gotten, whatever, in front of a mixed congregation with children in it, right?
Yeah.
So he kind of gave like parents permission to stand up and take their kids to the back, you know, sort of away from the homily for a moment, so he could talk to people who were willing to sit and stay and listen. Maybe that's a tactic, but
again, like we keep circling back to like preaching, and then that ties back into clerics and that sort of thing. What's the relationship between the young and the clerics these days? From your perspective, again, I know you don't, you speak, me and the millions of people I've talked to who have decided, what does it feel?
Yeah, and before we get to that, I also just want to say, like, I do recognize that the extreme difficulty in preaching, and I don't mean to, like, bash any priest that doesn't want to talk about the difficult things.
No, you're very kind, Chris. And we didn't take it that way either. Yeah. But I just wanted
to make sure anyone listening is like, he hates priests that preach about Jesus.
Chris, they can hear it in your voice. Yeah, anyway, tell me, what is like the relationship between the clerics and the youngins, the utes?
Yeah, how we doing? So
they're definitely, like, it's very good. Like, a lot of clerics now, like, they kind of come across to the young people as, oddly enough, being human. Believe it or not, priests are human.
Explore that for me.
Yeah. Please tell us.
Yeah. And so it's sort of, you know, you can go up to your priest and you can talk about things. I think part of the reason people enjoy listening to you banter on the podcast is because, like, oh, like, my priests enjoy, like, Batman or Ninja Turtles, Warhammer 40K, like, these are all things I enjoy. I never would have actually imagined a cleric of God actually does these things in their free time.
Well, yeah, that's weird, but okay. I played a game of 40K last night with a parishioner. It was fun.
See, I think you made the point one time that we're the first generation of clerics who can come in and beat kids in our youth groups video games.
Oh yeah, that's like, the thing we can do. Not all of us, mind you, but some of us can.
No, I mean, it's a whole different level of connection, probably. Right, yeah. But on a deeper level too, like, do you suppose that there's something about the sort of new generation of vocations that's making that connection easier? Is there something that I'll correct my question. Are all priests of any age, are you finding that they're more able to relate to and be approachable on the part of the young, especially college aged?
Yeah, I can't say all priests of any age.
Sure.
And I mean, it does also depend on personality, because, like, I know a couple young priests who just their personality is kind of very, very, very shut off.
Mm.
And so going to talk to them is a little harder because they're not very good at being relatable.
Yeah. Right. Sure.
Talking to people. But in general, I'd say, like, you know, we have clergy that are a lot more relatable to people, a lot easier to talk to, which means...
What was it like in your childhood, dare I ask?
Like, talking to priests, or...
Yeah, I don't know. What, you said there's a difference now than then? I mean, what are we comparing this to?
So, I guess I'm more just comparing it to thinking back more on church history, it's, like, all the clericalism and the idea... I think it was... Jose Maria Escrivá's idea of universal call to holiness. Like, wait, laity are called to be holy too?
Let's jump back to that. Tell me, you say you expect more saints from the laity. Tell me about that. What inspires that? Tell me.
Because, you know, some of the recent scandals in the church revolve around the clergy, which is...
and how.
Yeah, absolutely terrible.
Yeah,
like, yeah. No, like, not
breaks,
not
breaks my heart to talk about it.
Yeah. Right. Us too.
Yeah, and so it's, like, the laity see that, and I mean, you know, there are so many mixed reactions, but I think there's a lot of people that want to be faithful who are looking at this thing, like, okay, well, you know, there are problems surrounding the clergy. We obviously don't get rid of them.
Thanks.
Yes! Still in. Yeah.
But, like, okay, well, if there are problems, you know. The first way to start solving a problem in the church is to start working on myself, because I'm part of that.
Ooh. Dude, you know? Nice.
Again, solid. It's the very Franciscan way of doing it, of St. Francis, like, hey, the church is falling into ruin, so what can I do about myself? And then from that, all these people are like, hey, this is really cool. We're going to be inspired to follow this man.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And the church started to build back up from that. And
right.
So I think we're going to see that in the laity who are looking, okay, well, if the clergy in my area are in trouble, I'm going to start working through myself, talk to my friends. Like, we're all going to start trying to live a solid Catholic faith and do what we can to help fix this, because, you know, we don't really have the authority to throw out a bad priest, but we do have the authority to start living a Catholic life and working on guiding others towards that.
You know, I think there's something that can be said about that too. The whole idea that, you know, holiness is attractive, because it is, right?
It sure is.
People are really drawn to people who very clearly live within the context of the sacredness of a life of prayer, a life of discipline and virtue. I dare say that a virtuous laity will certainly help the clergy to become virtuous and remain virtuous and sanctify them because of the good example that's there. I mean, gosh, it's one of the most inspiring things to me as a priest to run into people who are very faithful and like, oh my gosh, you guys really get it. So my homily today for Sunday, I preached about the two-thirds problem in the church, where two-thirds of Catholics don't believe in the true presence of the Eucharist.
Mm.
And so, I mean, there's a hard topic for you, right?
Yeah.
So, and some of this is inspired by, I had a wedding yesterday. My first wedding as a priest.
Hey, congratulations.
There you go. It's a big deal. And, you know, so shout out to Nathan and Victoria Kincaid. Victoria and I went to high school together, but
that's really cool.
And Nathan is an on fire convert.
Praise God.
And they're just both really great people, both really desire, continue relationship in the context of like the church and being with the Lord, and they take marriage seriously. They take the sacraments seriously.
All right, you're like, gushing there, guy.
It's great.
Okay, great.
I was so excited.
How great is it?
Well, I told them. I even went so far as to tell them at their rehearsal dinner, like, you guys made my first, you know, marriage as a priest so easy because I didn't have to. It wasn't so much work of like
dealing with thorny topics.
I mean, kind of. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They already were on board with everything. So, and it's so enlivening to me as a priest to receive that from them. It was a gift to me, you know, to be able to have that as my first experience of a wedding.
Cool.
Well, not my first. Josh and Karina were my first.
I know.
But as a priest. And so, I can say even just from that, there's a lot of life that can be gained even on the part of the clergy when we see good and healthy lay people who are trying to live a life of holiness. So, I mean, gosh, of course, I'm a little biased because my little brother is in this friend group. But like, you know, all of you guys who are in that friend group, these two utes, all these guys and gals who are in this friend group, really, I mean, it's inspiring to us, right?
Have you ever read The Benedict Option? Just curious.
No. Never even heard of it.
Oh, okay. Really?
Yeah,
I'd recommend it to you. You might find it interesting. It's a book of a gentleman was looking at the state of basically Christianity in the world in the 21st century and saying, what are we going to do about it? Because the secular world's basically trying to eat us right now. And he came up with an option he called the Benedict Option, which anyways, it just seems like something you might be interested in reading.
I'll look into it. Thank you.
The long and short of it is that Saint Benedict, in the time of great moral depravity in the West and in the Western world, decided he would rebuild society by way of monastic structure of life, getting away from the current structure of society and building up from the ground a society completely built on the bedrock of Christ, right? Okay. So, something that he is sort of proposing is that the same thing sort of happened again on the part of lay people in the church today. And I don't know necessarily if we go so far as to say we build Catholic communes, but at least we can build small Christian communities, Catholic communities that are serious about the faith. I mean, gosh, the friend group that you have, right? Parts of Franciscan University, parts of other good college campuses, Catholic college campuses, and Christendom comes to mind, Ave Maria comes to mind, right? These places that are really trying to thrive from their Catholic identity, those things can be in part, a living out of that Benedict Option, the sort of getting away from what the world offers for the sake of something greater, right?
Yeah, and it's kind of this nice thing too, of we all go to college, we learn how to be Catholic, but then we kind of diffuse out back into the world.
Oh, nice.
You know, because when you graduate college, you don't really stay there. I'm not going to be living. I'm not going to be living in one of the dorms at Franciscan for the rest of my life.
No one has a vocation to seminary, and no one has a vocation to college.
Exactly.
That's right.
And so, when you graduate, you diffuse out.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Do you see that as far as your Catholic identity goes, as a threat or a opportunity?
It's a bit of both, honestly, because it really depends on how well someone is formed in their faith and how mature they are in kind of how they manage being mm-hmm. Catholic. Because I can leave Franciscan, and I hope to God that I stay faithful to him.
Whoa.
And please, God. I think I will, because okay. I know I've been formed very, very well, and I'm working on being formed more. Mm-hmm. But then I also know, well, if I take this carelessly, like, oh, I'm a Franciscan, it's so easy to be Catholic, I don't really need to try.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if I leave with that same attitude, I'm going into a world where it's not easy to be Catholic, and if I'm not going to try, I'm not going to be, or I'm only going to be Catholic in, like, name only.
And you'll be entering a world of pain. Yeah.
I guess that's one way of looking at it.
This is the Army, Mr. Brown. Okay. Anyway, so...
You've had your breakfast in bed before, but you won't have it there anymore. Anyways.
Jeez, yeah, that's right. The breakfast in bed at Franciscan? Not a lot of that. Sometimes...
Not that I've heard of.
Pop-Tarts. Okay, anyway.
Yeah.
Okay.
It depends on my energy during
Sad
finals week.
College
yeah.
life.
Yeah, I live dead week, too. I know what that's like.
It's finals week. Time to just grab a granola bar and stay in my bed all day studying.
Struggle through life.
Kind of. It's the worst.
You guys want to be challenged? Is that what you're... I mean, like, is that what you're looking for?
In what way?
I don't know. Tell me. You say that you expect, like, you think that sanctity will rise from the laity. Praise God. I hope so.
Maybe the question is, what can we do as priests to help to strengthen that desire?
Right.
And that resolve?
Oh, boy.
yeah.
You're really not giving me any of the easy questions here, thank you.
No, you showed up. Like, do you want easy questions? I'm not about easy questions. What's your favorite color? But no, seriously.
I'm doing what God asked me to do. I wrote that email and he said, hey, ask if you can show up as a guest. So,
well, you're here now.
Go ahead.
What do you want to see out of your priests?
Mm-hmm.
You can answer as bluntly as you want.
Yeah, like, we don't care. You can't hurt my feelings. I don't have any.
We've established that, Cheech.
The Army beat those out of you long ago.
Yes, and we're all grateful.
What? Go ahead.
I mean, I'm trying to think, but I do think part of it is, you know, when we kind of hit more of an adult age would probably be better, but when we're starting to hit the ages of where we really need to choose the faith as our own.
Cool.
Having priests kind of having sessions for that, where it's like, okay, these are some of the more difficult topics, you know, adjusted for whatever age,
because mm-hmm.
you can't talk about one thing the same for high schoolers as you can for, like, a college student or an eighth grader.
Right.
But then, like, okay, we're going to talk about these things, tell you about them, and kind of get into why the church says this, because I think some people also reject what the church says because they grow up hearing, like, oh, you can't do this, but they never grow up hearing why
right.
you shouldn't do the opposite of that, or you shouldn't do that, or
catechesis.
Yeah, I'd say a lot of it would probably be catechesis, to put a word to it. Is
yeah.
do you want, like, I think it would help with if priests specifically had that for grades, as I said, where they have to choose, where they're starting to choose their own faith, because you know, if you don't get them to understand when they're choosing it, you might never get them again.
Cool.
Yeah, that's fair enough. And, you know, I think it's not lost on me that, you know, ministry to college-aged and young adult people, young adult Catholics, is something that has been lacking for a really long time in the life of the church. I think there was a lot of focus put on youth ministry, on, like, high school and teenage youth ministry.
Which is certainly important.
Yeah. But it's funny because now that I've gotten through, I went through, you know, youth ministry, I had a good Newman Center, and then I went straight to seminary. So I never experienced the like drop off, you know, but then I had friends behind me. So, I think particularly of, like, Parker and Maria Zerba and,
right.
and like, Becca Stump and sort of that age group of yeah. our friends we're all familiar with here
yeah.
within this friend group. but like the next classes down, they, you know, because they were friends with me while I was in seminary, they would talk about, like, hey, there's nothing for us. I mean, the church seems not to be providing for us. And we don't want to be the ones who are just going forward and providing youth ministry over again at some other parish or something like that. Like, what? How are we going to be keep getting fed
at this we're stage still, in our life?
Right. We're still yeah. we still recognize we're maturing and we still need some nourishment here. And so there have been some things that have been put out there that have been tried. I'm hopeful for what I see, but yeah, you know, there's only so many theology on taps you can do, which is one thing. Yeah. It's one thing. It's good.
But you're not.
It's something.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to add before we sign you off, Chris? Thank you for coming and allowing us to savage you. At least me. Again, sorry about that.
Just ripped into.
I am a blunt instrument, but the but thank you. No, honest to God, you're. Thank you for coming on the show. Anything else you want to add?
Well, first of all, just thank you both for having me. It's a great honor to be here. And I mean, what I would really say for people is just, you know, if you look at the state of the church and you're despairing, like, pray that you can be hopeful and pray for the church and everyone in it. If you look at it and you're hopeful, then pray that that hope comes to fruition. Mm-hmm. Because at the end of it all, no matter what you do, if you're not praying, you're not really going to be able to solve the problems. Like, we need people to act, but we need actions to be rooted in prayer.
Mm.
Which is rooting it back in God himself.
Right. Absolutely.
Cool. Right. The Holy Spirit will guide the church.
Amen.
Over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Chris, thanks for coming on, man. Thank you for the topic. Yeah, for all of you Catholic college listeners, and just those of you who are Catholic and college aged at the moment, yeah, hold fast to the truth and continue to grow in the knowledge of that truth. And as Chris has said very astutely, root that all in prayer. Some theologians, I think I can't remember exactly who was that says this, but theology is best done on our knees before the Lord.
Von Balthasar?
I don't remember.
I think that might be Von Balthasar.
Yeah, I'm pretty
okay.
sure.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah. What was it?
This is not as important, but I remembered.
Go ahead.
Nick Meyer, who suggested the episode on aliens, wants his shout out.
Oh, jeez.
Shout out to Nick Meyer for your idea on the topic of talking about aliens.
That was like 20 episodes ago.
That was like it didn't even happen.
He promised me he would never stop bringing it up if he didn't get it.
Oh, dude. Gosh. All right, Nick
thank
Meyer.
You for the topic. Yeah. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, thank you. Go listen to the aliens episode.
Yeah.
Not saying it's aliens.
But it's aliens.
It's aliens. Golly. Okay, good. Chris, thanks so much for coming on. This has been the Deus Vult Podcast with Father Dan Cale and
Father Stephen Felicia, last time I checked, and this guy.
And we've had the wonderful pleasure of having Mr. Chris Hagar on today, talking to us about Catholic culture in the university world, and his perspective on the church.
Yeah.
So appreciate you. Okay.
You'll be in our prayers, man.
And you, yeah. And you and mine.
Thank you.
Very good. All of our listeners, you can find us on Facebook and Instagram. Send us an email at deusvultpodcast@gmail.com. You know, like and subscribe and all that kind of stuff. Write reviews. It helps us to sort of keep spreading the word of the show, which we think is still doing the work of the Holy Spirit.
Let us know if it's not.
Yeah, yeah. Let us know if it's not.
I think so far, so good.
Well, thanks, Chris.
Yeah, good. That's one affirmation. Nice. Yeah. Good. Yeah. Okay. God bless you. And as always,
Deus Vult.